Good evening. Greetings in Jesus' name. Greeting from the Troxville congregation. It's good to be here with you this evening. It's been a blessing, and I guess I can say I'm happy to be here. Well, I'd rather be a listener, but certainly it's a happiness to be in service for the Lord. It's been, as was mentioned, it was a beautiful drive out here. Beautiful sunset, and it's a trip Logan makes pretty much every weekend, so it was interesting traveling with him, and he led us right here to church. We had no problem finding the building, and I guess I don't really know any of you real well, yet I don't feel like a complete stranger. I've met some of you, and I've heard stories about you. And the group here. Don't worry, he has a good word for you. And the topic before us, coping with pressures and responsibilities. When the brother informed me of this, I thought, I don't think I'm the one to speak on that. Because I'm not sure, I surely don't have it underfoot on how to do it. But it was a blessing to study into it, to look into it. Hopefully I've learned something from it. Now, thinking of responsibility, it's the state or quality that comes to everyone of us, whether we want it or not. As we grow up, hopefully we are taught, as children, as babies, we have no responsibility. We're completely dependent on our parents and on our mother too. We cry for our food, and our mother cleans our wet and dirty diapers, and we're not held accountable for that. But as we grow older and we are taught some things, then we are accountable. We have some responsibilities. And I remember a conversation I had with my older sister when I was coming up in the age of 12, and she was a little beyond the age of 12. And we decided that the age 12 was the perfect age. If you could just stay there, it's kind of a carefree time of life. You're old enough, you get a little more privileges, and big enough, you can do a few more things. But yet, you don't carry a lot of responsibility. Well, we know that doesn't work. If we could fix our age, we probably all would have done that somewhere. At least once you get up to 50, you would have fixed it somewhere before that. And yeah, we didn't stay there at that age. And with time and experience, comes responsibility. The definition that the dictionary gave responsibility, able to answer for one's conduct or obligations, reliability and trustworthy, reliable and trustworthy. And responsibility is something we all need. Pity the child that is not taught responsibility. And responsibility give us a purpose in life, something to, and it develops our character. As children grow up, they're taught, and they need to be taught responsibility, taught to put away toys and, various things. And as a child grows, they're taught more as they're able to take that and give him more. I think we all need responsibility. That one definition that was reliable and trustworthy. We need that trust that others can put into us. If no one trusts us, how would you feel? If no one trusts you for anything, how would you feel? We would feel rather worthless. And I think, in the world about us, there is people that kind of experience that. And that brings on some of the troubles we see in the world. And thinking more on responsibility, I think we all enjoy it. We all enjoy responsibility to a certain extent, you know, to within our comfort zone. A mother with a happy child is to take care of, is enjoys that. And in our work or whatever, you know, we enjoy responsibility, something to do. But you know, it's when those responsibilities multiply, things don't go as planned, then we have other ideas about it sometimes. And you all know, you know, responsibilities with life, there's many responsibilities. We have home life, church life, school, business, and raising children, and just relating to other people. There is so many responsibilities that come upon us, and after a while, you know, we become pressure. And pressure is not all bad. I mean, sometimes it helps us get things done, like, you know, studying for a sermon. You know, there's some things that's just easy to put off and let it go till the very last, you know. Some of the things you don't really like. But when it's, you know, 10 o'clock Saturday night and you know you got to preach Sunday morning and that sermon's not done, well, the pressure's on. And you all know in your own circumstances where that pressure comes from. For scripture, I'd like to read from Matthew 25. Matthew 25, I'll start reading at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained the other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, of thy Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here we have this Lord giving the talents to his servants. And the talents, it's, you know, been discussed often on what they actually are. You know, is it our money or our actual talents? And it can, I think it involves all that. And I just like to tonight refer to our responsibilities. We have responsibilities, things that God asked us to do, that God expects us to do. And well, are we faithful in that? Are we doing our best to use what He has given us and to further His kingdom, to bless His kingdom? And the title, again, mentioned about coping with pressures and responsibilities, to deal with or to attempt to overcome problems or to work with the pressures. How do we relate to the pressures that come? Do we try to just eliminate them, just get out of it all we can? And no doubt, maybe there is some that we should eliminate that are not necessary. There's, think in my life, there's some things that I probably could be just as well if I just said, skip it, let someone else do that. You know, the world's mentality is somewhat to get out of it, eliminate it. You file bankruptcy. You send your children to the babysitter, or worse, you have an abortion. You know, we don't want that responsibility. And the socialistic trends that we see about us, that people like that, that, you know, so many people like that. Let someone else take on me and all my problems. And we need to be careful that we don't take that mentality, but that we face our responsibilities realistically. In Luke 19:13, Jesus says, occupy till I come, or be busy, be diligent, work at what I have given you, work at it. So we are called to deal with the pressures, the responsibilities in a godly manner, so that our work, our life honors God, brings glory to God. And the pressures of our life, I think that they help us to rely on God. You know, when there's just so much about us, and we realize that, at least we should come to realize that we can't handle this on our own. We need God in our life. We need God's help. But, you know, we need to deal with pressures before they stress us out, that before they come too stressful, that we do not effectively do our responsibilities, perform our responsibilities. As I think about this pressure example come to my mother used a pressure cooker, just going back to my younger days again, used a pressure cooker to do a lot of her canning. And I remember one lazy summer afternoon, the sweet corn was husked, and it was cleaned and was in the canner, some of it was in the canner, And some of us were sitting around there in the kitchen just kind of relaxing after our working. And suddenly there was a tremendous noise. And hear that? Something had gone wrong. And that candle had shot up into the ceiling, put a whole big hole in the ceiling. And there was sweet corn glass scattered all over the kitchen. You know, the pressure had got too high and something left loose. The pressure got too high and the stress on that metal, the metal left loose. And things flew. And thankfully, no one was hurt. But you know, in our life, if we do not deal with responsibilities and pressures as we ought, there's times when things fly. You know, when people get hurt because we do not respond properly. Hopefully they don't get hurt physically, but emotionally and spiritually, people are hurt by our words. And so we see it is important that it is needful that we learn how to cope with responsibilities and pressures in a way that it does not become so stressful that our lid flies off and things fly. So how can we do that? I guess that's what the topic is about. How do we cope with it? And first of all, I'd like to go to that verse, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I think that's so very important. There's other things that we're going to look at. But first of all, we need to recognize that we need to cast our cares upon the Lord. Or as our brother brought out in the opening, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. We got to realize that we need God. Now, in preparing for this, I asked a couple people that I met, the people I was talking with, you know, what do you have to say about coping with pressures and responsibilities? What would you have to say? And from the young to the old, the answer was, you got to take it to the Lord. Turn it over to the Lord. And you know, that verse is easy to say. Cast all thy care upon the Lord because he cares for you. You know, it's easy for us to say, and we may think of it, but do we really do that? Do we take that to him and let it there? You know, if we go to him in prayer and tell him our problems, if we rise up from prayer and that burden is still there, just as heavy as it was, we haven't really left it there. And so, well, I think it's something we need to work at. I know I do. It's hard for us as humans to just cast it upon the Lord and say, God, we have to believe that when we pray to him and take it to him, that he hears and he's going to do something about it. And then let him work. And our close fellowship with God in that way will help us to have a proper perspective of things when the pressures are on. And it is our source of strength to call upon his grace and his spirit in our life to help us when the pressure is on. And I have experienced that some in my own life. I have a small construction business and a few people that looking for me, looking for work, depending on me for work. And I have this problem, either we have too much work or not enough, and I'm there. You probably all know about that. And sometimes this gets to worry me, especially when there's too much work and it's not getting done. And there was one time there was one job that was a couple day job, but we had agreed to do, and we thought we were going to do it in the winter. Well, they didn't give us the okay till middle of the summer, and here we were busy, and they wanted it done, and it just wasn't happening. And I woke up one night, and boom, you know, that was right there in my mind. What are we going to do about this? And finally, I get out of bed, and I just took it to the Lord. And I went back to, was able to go back to sleep. And I knew, I said, well, next morning, I'm calling the fella. I'm going to tell him, at least give him a date when we'll be there. And when it was for a church parsonage, a local church parsonage that we had done a good bit of work on. And I called him and I was going to tell him, okay, we're going to be there at such a date. And he said, oh, don't worry. He says, some of the men at church, they talked about it and they thought they could take care of it. So it's taken care of. And to me, that was just such a blessing to see God working that way and took that care from me. It's sad to say I don't always do it that way. I don't always take it to him. Now I want to look at some more ways to cope, maybe a little more practical. And the next one, to live in the present. I want to turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 has a lot to tell us about not worrying about today, or not worrying. God takes care of the flowers of the field, and surely he'll take care of us. We're not going to read all them. I'd just like to read Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So there he says, he's telling us, don't worry about tomorrow. The things of tomorrow will take care of themselves. We got enough problems today. Focus on today. And I think that we need to do that. Mark Twain said, I have been through some terrible things in life, some of them which actually happened. You know, that's so much of what we worry about things of tomorrow that, you know, may not ever even happen. But yet they worry us and they take away our peace and our joy. But along with that, we have to live today with an eternal perspective. And we see that in verse 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Live today to the fullest for his glory. Seek his, to do his work. You know, will this really matter a week from now? Will this really make a difference 100 years from now? And so many things that we worry about really won't make a difference. But there are some things of eternal values that will. You know, there's times there's work waiting. We think it's so important we get there, but yet there's someone that has some questions, that wants to talk. We think, well, I just don't have time. But finally, you know, that person who has answers or questions about the scriptures, about life, there's an eternal value there. And the work that is waiting, you know, it'll still be there waiting unless someone else does it for us. You know, and for the busy moms, there's so much work waiting on them, but your children, they need you. Take time for the children. Next, we want to look at value relationships. And again, relationships can have a lasting, eternal effect. You know, we tend to allow the pressures of life to shortchange our relationships. You know, we're quick. We give quick, sharp answers, and we have no time for family, for children. And we need to value that, the relationship that we can have, and build that. Build our relationships. The wounds of sharp, unkind words, the wounds of having no time for our children, you know, they take a long time to heal. Sure, there may be times when we have to say, no, I don't have time now. But we have to be sure to make that time, to take that time. I think it's certainly is important when it comes to close relationships, our family, our wife. You know, and so often it's those close to us that feel the effects of the pressure that's upon us. It's those that live with us most, and it's those that, you know, we tend to be short and sharp with. We need to value relationships and put time into them. And next, we need to seek God's approval. Seek God's approval in life. You know, keeping up with the Joneses can be so stressful. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about comparing themselves among themselves. I'd like to turn there, look at a few verses. First Corinthians 10:12. Sorry, it's 2 Corinthians. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves of some with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So there he tells us, it's not wise to be comparing ourselves among themselves. But first, and then going on to verse 17 and 18. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And finally, you know, we're going to have to answer to God. So let's seek his approval. Let's seek his commendation. You know the pressure is there to look about us and say, well, how's everyone else doing it? But finally, do men's ideas really count? No. Finally, God's word is what will judge us, and we need to apply ourselves to seek his approval. Number 5, don't blame others. You know, we tend to do that. Maybe that's our way of trying to eliminate our responsibility. But finally, again, each of us will be answer for our own life. Sure, there are actions and words of others that may affect us, that may hurt us, and there's things that others do that come into our life and affect our circumstances. But you know, the circumstances that we face don't make us. They reveal us. They reveal what's in us. And yes, it's so easy to to say, you know, if you wouldn't have done that, if you wouldn't have, if this wouldn't have happened, then I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have flew off the handle. But finally, each of us is responsible for the way we handled that pressure. Number six, don't avoid the hard decisions. And again, there's some things that are just easier to put off to a later date. And there's things that we just like to skip out. Let someone else do that. Let someone else make that decision. And, you know, as fathers in the home, we need to be there and stand by our wife and help. And there may be times that we need time to get some counsel, get some advice. But we can't just ignore those hard decisions. They would just become harder to make. And the problem will multiply. Going on to number seven, don't become indifferent. And don't back off or quit in the face of opposition. And we know we face opposition at times. And, you know, maybe as church leaders, and in other areas, you know, and it's easy for us to say, well, yes, I guess that's not really that important. But finally, we need to, it's important that we live and teach our convictions. James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and if we need convictions to help us make those decisions. And if we are double-minded, it makes us unstable. If we're not sure where we stand, then we find trouble facing our responsibilities because we're not sure how we really should be responding. So it's important, we need to have convictions first, based on the scripture, and then live them, teach them, but live them. If we're not living what we're teaching, we only add confusion to ourselves and to those about us. And number eight, we need to be willing to delegate, willing to let others take some of our responsibility. And for some, you know, that's hard, Dave. They want to be in control. They don't want to release that control. But we need to be... as part of facing our responsibilities and relieving a pressure to let others, to help others, take up the work. And there are lots of other things we could talk about on how to cope with pressures and responsibilities. I trust the few that we have mentioned will help us and to find our way in meeting that responsibility, meeting our responsibilities. And we know, you know, some of these things that I mentioned, they don't necessarily apply to everyone in every circumstance. Like, delegate. A mother with three crying children that is up against it, you know, she's kind of limited on who she can delegate to. But I trust we can take some of these things and they will help us to meet life pressures in a godly way, in a way that brings glory to Him. I'd like to turn back to Matthew 25, where we had looked at before. Matthew 25, 21. Here was the response of the Lord to the servant who had been faithful in multiplying his talents. And he said, the Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, thy Lord." And I think that is what we'd all like to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And we can receive that blessing. That if we going back to that first thought of casting all our care upon Him, trusting in Him, seeking out how we can, by God's grace, perform our responsibilities. Luke 11:9 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." So God has answers for us if we really want them. You know, you may find yourself snowed under, lots of pressure, maybe the lid's about to blow, but take it to the Lord. Seek Him. Ask. Seek. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. And God will help us to deal with the pressures and responsibilities as to His honor and glory. So I'll lead you in prayer. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank you that we can come before you at this time. We thank you that you are a great, almighty, and holy God, but that you care for every one of our needs, and that you are there longing to help us, and help us to have the trust, the confidence in you, that we can turn these cares over to you and allow you to work and to show your power in our life. Just grant us wisdom as we face our various responsibilities, whether in the home or in the church or in the school, wherever we find ourselves. Help us to be faithful and keep pressing on and be diligent in that which you have given us to do, that we may hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.